Well, this morning we're going to wrap up this series we've been doing for the last couple of weeks that we've called Cancel Culture. You have to have been living in a cave not to have heard that term, not to recognize that that's a day and an hour that we are living in. And it impacts us, the church, believers. It's a concept of saying, and basically it's a new perspective, a new not something new that's happening, but this new mindset that's trying to replace values that a lot of us have held dear for a long, long time, and saying those values are out of step, therefore they cannot even be tolerated to be expressed in public opinion. That those who express those kind of ideas, those antiquated ideas, what we would call conservative biblical ideas, that those ideas must be silenced. It's as we've looked at this series, we've talked about the significance of cancel culture and why it really matters to us. Why would we take the time to talk about what's going on in the world? And it's because the direction that the world is moving in, this direction that cancel culture would take us, would literally transform our nation as it exists, as we've known it. It would change the freedoms and the liberties that we have to worship God. It would change how we raise our own children and the values that we want to teach and train our kids. It's a very subversive and diabolical, literally, movement against the body of Christ, against Christian values. It's very anti-Christ. I'm not naming the Antichrist today. I'm just saying it's from the spirit of Antichrist that this this cancel culture kind of phenomenon is happening. And so we've been looking at that, and last week not only did we identify kind of where it comes from and why it's important, but we began to talk about actually some steps that we can take, some very practical things that we can do, that as we identify ourselves as believers, that we understand what Jesus said about us, that we are to be the salt of the earth, that we are to be the light of the world, and that means that we are to make an impact on the culture around us, that our light is supposed to shine into the darkness, that the saltiness of Christ inside of us is supposed to spill over into the people's lives that we are around. We are placed in this world to make a difference, not to just huddle in a holy huddle in a church somewhere and pray for Jesus to come and rapture us out, take us away from here. And so that's what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. I'm really going to kind of shift direction and focus today. And I really want to talk this morning about some things that need to be canceled. Some things that need to be canceled. And so we're going to look at, first of all, there's some things that Satan wants to cancel in your life. Some things that God wants to cancel in your life. And then some things that we need to cancel ourselves. I want us to go to God's Word this morning, John chapter 10, verse 10. Many of you could quote this verse of Scripture. It's pretty familiar if you've been in the church very long. John 10 and 10 says, "The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." And then Jesus says this. He says, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." That verse of Scripture really defines this battle that's going on, this spiritual warfare that is going on. And we talked about it a little bit last week, that we've got to know the nature of the battle that we're in, that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not your next door neighbor that your battle is with. It's not the newscast person that you're upset with. It's not the person in social media or the actor that we're really at war with. It is this collision course between these two cultures of right and wrong, of God and Satan, of light and darkness, this evil versus good. What we're seeing in the world today is a manifestation, a physical manifestation of a spiritual warfare that has been taking place on this planet ever since Adam and Eve were first placed in the Garden of Eden. And so on the one hand, we see that there is a kingdom of darkness. I know that most of us don't want to think about that. We just want to think about, you know, life is just what I can see. But I'm telling you, folks, there is a spiritual world that is just as real, if not more real, than what you can see with your natural eyes. There's a battle that's going on in the heavenlies. And Satan, on the one hand, with his kingdom of darkness, with those fallen demonic spirits that follow after him, that's who Jesus is talking about when he says that there's a thief who has come to steal and kill and destroy. He is the epitome of cancel culture. And old Satan is a tricky one, isn't he? He's a liar and a deceiver, and he makes all of these empty promises to us. And he says, oh, if you'll just follow after me, if you'll do this thing, if you'll go in this direction, which is totally contrary to the Word of God, but if you'll do this, oh, it's going to make your life so much better. You're going to be so much happier. Oh, look at these folks. Don't they look happy over here? Why don't you just do what they're doing? And it's going to make you so much happier as well. Here's the problem. He only shows us that. He doesn't show us the brokenness of the afterwards. How many of you know that there's brokenness after sin? Some of us have got a lot of broken pieces in our past because we listened to the lie that the enemy had fed to us. And he said, hey, look, you know, if you will, I mean, you know, we've got it here in our church, Celebrate Recovery. We know there's a lot of folks who attended our church who are trying to get free from a lot of things in their life. And some of that's alcohol recovery. Some of that's drug addiction recovery. You know, nobody ever decided, I want to become an alcoholic. I want to become a drug addict because it's going to ruin my life. Nobody ever said, I want to go that direction because it's going to wreck my home, wreck my family, wreck my finances, wreck my business, wreck my body, just destroy me. Nobody ever decided, hey, I think drugs sounds like a great idea. Why? Because the devil doesn't show you that side, does he? He feeds you this false promise. He starts telling you, this is going to make you more happy. This is going to make you more fulfilled. This is going to make you your life all the more better. But as soon as you sign the dotted line, Satan cancels his part of the agreement. And he gives us the death and destruction. You know, we're living in a world that sexuality is being promoted as the answer to fulfill life and bring the pleasure that we're seeking, and the devil wants to pervert sexuality, and he wants to try to tell you, forget God's way, how about this way, adultery and pornography and homosexuality and bisexuality, all these other things. Oh, by the way, let me just stop and pause for a second. I don't know if you realize this, but one of the greatest attacks that the enemy is making against our young people today, our high school age students, our junior high age students today, is this lie that bisexuality is the way to go. And there's you're being silent, but I'm just telling you the truth today. I'm telling you, we see it even within our own youth group. I see it everywhere I turn. I was talking to an educator the other day. Yep, we're dealing with that. We're dealing with this, the whole transgender thing, the whole bisexuality. It's like that's the cool thing to be now. It's not necessarily cool to be the quarterback in high school. It's cool to be bisexual. That's the world that we're living in. And that world wants to tell us, that cancel culture world wants to tell us that if we would suggest that there's another way, a better way, then we need to be silenced and just give those people the freedom to go the direction they want to go. But I'm going to tell you, as soon as you sign up for what the devil lies to you about, he cancels his promises of fulfillment and pleasure, and instead he leaves broken homes and broken children's lives and all kinds of a mess in the background of our lives. I know that you know I'm telling the truth this morning, so whether I'm talking about you or somebody else, you can say amen. In a thousand other ways that Satan lies to us because he's a thief that comes but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But if that was his bumper sticker, If that was his advertisement, hey, y'all sign up. I've come to steal, kill, and destroy. Then nobody would ever sign up. So he lies to us. Listen, I'll tell you, there's some things that Satan wants to cancel in your life today. The first thing that Satan wants to cancel is he wants to cancel your dreams. He wants to cancel the God-given dreams that the Holy Spirit has put inside of you. Do you remember the Old Testament story of Joseph, the dreamer? The boy who was a favorite of his father. He had 11 other brothers, and he had these dreams about how that the sun and the moon and the stars were going to bow down in front of him, and the interpretation was that his own family was going to bow down to him, and they're like, dude, you're my brother. There's no way I'm ever going to bow down in front of you. So what did they do? They decided, we're going to cancel that dream. We're going to stop it. And so they sold him, threw him in a pit. Caravan of traders comes along going to Egypt. They sold him into Egypt to be a slave. And they're washing their hands saying, we canceled his dream. It's never going to happen. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you have had some dreams in your life that Satan has tried to cancel? He's tried to tell you that it's never going to happen, that it's a waste of time, that you're not smart enough, that you don't have whatever it's going to take in order. And so the enemy comes in and he starts trying to lie to us in order to try to cancel our dreams. And what I want to say to somebody today is, don't you let Satan cancel your dream. You stand up and say, God, this is something that you put inside of me, and whether it looks like it right now or it doesn't look like it right now, that doesn't matter, God. I know you've got a plan for my life. You've got a dream that you've given me, and I'm not going to give up. Amen. There's a second thing that I think that Satan wants to cancel, and that's your purpose, and that's tied to your dream. See, God gives you dreams so that you will discover the purpose that he has put inside of you. And he's given you everything that you need to fulfill your purpose. He's given you gifts. He's given you abilities. He's given you connections with the right people. Everything that you need to fulfill your purpose, God has given that to you. But Satan will fight us every step of the journey. He was fighting Joseph, trying to stop him from achieving the purpose that God had established for him, that one day he would sit second on the throne beside a Pharaoh, and he would rule over the nation and provide the solution to the famine that was coming to the world. I'm reminded of Moses, who had a purpose, and his purpose was that he was going to be God's deliverer, his chosen one, to deliver the nation of Israel. But you remember what happened at about 40 years old. He made a bad mistake. He killed a man that he shouldn't have killed. He buries him in the sand. It all gets found out. The next thing you know, he's running for his life. And it looks like his purpose has been stopped. It looks like Satan has canceled Moses. But God had a better plan. God wasn't through. God says, okay, it may take us some time, but that's all right. I'm going to work some things in Moses' life on the backside of the desert, and ultimately I'm going to bring him out, and he's going to fulfill his purpose. Listen, some of you feel like the enemy has been coming against you to try to stop you, to hinder you, to keep you from experiencing the purpose that God has put inside of you. And the enemy, Satan, he comes along and he whispers into our lives, and he tries to tell us, no, it's never, ever going to happen. I'm telling you, God's got a plan. The Bible's full of stories of people who, if you were to just stop it halfway through their life, it would look like it's nothing but disaster and tragedy. You stop David's life when he's hiding in the cave from Saul, and you're thinking, this guy's going to be the next king. You stop Moses' life when he's just a shepherd on the backside of the wilderness. He's going to be the deliverer of God's people. You stop Ruth's life at that moment when her husband is dead and she's in a foreign land and there's famine all around and her there's no plan. She's in a foreign place and you say she's going to be one of the mothers of Jesus in his line. there's no way that's ever going to happen. There's, and every one of us in our lives, there are those moments where if you stopped our life right then and there, some of you may feel like that's where you are right now, that this is the lowest place in your life, and you feel like it's over, and I've been canceled, and my dream has been canceled, and my purpose has been canceled. But God is reminding you today, He wants me to remind you today, that He hasn't given up on you. And it's not over with yet. It's just halftime in the game. Oh, how many of you have a but God testimony in your life? Anybody got a but God testimony? Everything was going wrong in my life, but God. And everything turned around. That's what Jesus is talking about here in John 10:10, when he says, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy, but God. See, that's just the first half of the verse. Some of you are just in the first half of your life. You're not finished there yet. God's got a but God moment. And then Jesus steps up and says, now I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You see, God knows how to cancel what Satan tried to do to cancel you. You ever heard of a double negative? Yeah, you ever told somebody, I ain't got no money? I ain't got no money? Well, that's a double negative. I ain't and no cancels each other out. It means I got money. I want to tell you, God knows how to put the cancel on Satan's cancel. He knows how to say, oh, you tried to cancel that? I cancel you. And he wants to cancel the stuff that the enemy wants to do in our lives. Let me show you some of the things that God wants to cancel. We talked about what Satan wants to cancel. Let me talk to you for a few minutes about what God wants to cancel. God wants to cancel sin and the wages of sin in our lives. Aren't you glad you're forgiven today? Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus has washed you and cleansed you and all of your sins are under the blood, never to be remembered against you again? The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, God's able to cancel it. When Jesus is dying on the cross, there are seven things that he spoke, and one of the things that he said was, "It is finished." The Greek word there for "it is finished" is the Greek word tetelestai. It was a common Greek word used in that language. It literally meant that a debt is paid in full. That's what it meant. It meant paid in full. Like here's this invoice, stamp, tetelestai, paid in full. It is finished. That's what Jesus was saying on the cross about your sin and my sin. He was saying, I am canceling their sin debt. My blood pays in full. Praise the Lord. Another thing, it's one thing to have our sin canceled. Here's another thing that Satan wants, or that God wants to cancel, and that is our guilt. God wants to cancel the guilt that we carry around in our lives. You know, this past week, our nation sat on pins and needles waiting to hear the verdict of the Derek Chauvin trial. Would he be found guilty or not guilty? You know, it's really easy to look at one man and him be publicly exposed, and the nation wonder what's going to be said of him. But can I just tell you today that every one of us are guilty? I'm not saying that we're guilty of putting our knee on the neck of a man until he dies. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we're all guilty of murder. But what I am saying is that we are all guilty of sin. The stuff in our life. And for some of us, we've dealt with that sin. For some of us, that sin got exposed, and we repented, and we paid the price, and everything is taken care of. But sometimes we carry around sin that nobody knows about. It's never been exposed. And we carry around the guilt of that sin. People drag like a suitcase just full of guilt, and they're dragging it through life. Guilty for maybe something that they did or that they should not have done. Or maybe guilty for something that they wish they had done or that they did not do. Maybe they carry the guilt of an adulterous affair. Maybe they carry the guilt of an abortion. Maybe they carry the guilt of an illegitimate child. Maybe they carry the guilt of some tragic accident that happened, and maybe somebody was really injured, or maybe they were even killed, and you just always blame yourself, and you just can't get over, and you're just carrying that guilt. Listen, guilt is a terrible weight to carry. It's a terrible thing. And yet there are a lot of people in this room today, and you're carrying around guilt. And God says, I don't want you carrying that guilt anymore. I want to cancel that guilt. I canceled your sin. You've asked for forgiveness. I want to get rid of the guilt as well. See, sometimes we let other people put guilt on us. You ever let somebody put you on a guilt trip? I read this story, and it's got an answering machine in it, in this story. So it's a dated story. I just admit that up front. This did not happen last week. It's back in the days of an answering machine. And the story goes like this. My mother, a master of guilt trips, showed me a photo of herself waiting by a phone that never rings. Mom, I call you all the time, I said. If you had an answering machine, you would know. There's the answering machine. Soon after, my brother installed one for her. When I called the next time, I got her machine. Beep. If you're a salesperson, press 1. If you're a friend, press 2. If you're my daughter who never calls, press 911 because I'm having a heart attack right now. A lot of people are really good at piling the guilt on. I want to tell you today, God wants to cancel the guilt. He wants to cancel the guilt, not just the sin. He wants to cancel the guilt as well. The psalmist says in Psalm 32, verse 5, finally, I confess all my sins to you and stop trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. You hear the joy that comes when the guilt has been canceled. And then thirdly, your past. God wants to cancel your past. One of the biggest strategies that Satan uses to try to sideline us is holding our past over our heads. He'll get into our minds. He'll start whispering. He'll start playing videos through our head of remember when. The remember when moments. We get ready to break through. We get ready to step into our destiny. We get ready to fulfill our purpose. We get ready to do what we know that God has called us to do. And then the enemy starts playing the remember when moment. Oh, don't you remember when you were going to get your education before so you could further your career? Don't you remember when you flunked out of that math class and you had to drop out of school? Do you really think you're going to be able to do it this time? Remember when? The past holding us back. Remember when you were going to start that new business, but you poured all that money and all that effort and all that time, and it didn't make it, and you lost it all, and people laughed. Don't you remember when you're going to try a new business now? You remember when you were going to trust somebody again? You were going to open up your heart again. You were going to be willing to love somebody again. You remember how that they broke your heart one more time? You remember when? See how God. Satan wants to keep us in that past of the remember when and all of the failures that come along with that. But God wants to cancel all of our past, all of those failures. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And here's the truth. We've all got a past. Every one of us in this room has a past. Maybe you feel like yours is the worst of the worst, but probably not. Maybe you're looking at other people going, well, surely they don't have a past. Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, they do. Every one of us, we've got things in our past that we're not proud of. We wish that it had never happened to us. But here's what I know, and that is in Christ, our past is past. And we don't have to live there any longer. God says, I'm ready to cancel all of the stuff from your past. And that is a cancel culture that's worth celebrating. So let me wrap this thing up. Some of you are here today and you're struggling with sins, you're struggling with guilt, you're struggling with failure from the past, and Satan would try to cancel you. And if you would let him, he will. But God says, no, I want to cancel Satan's cancel. I want to offer you the forgiveness that is found in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I want to offer you the freedom that comes, freedom from the guilt, freedom from the shame, freedom from the past. I want to cancel all of that and move you into the destiny and the purpose that I put those dreams inside of you for. But here's the final part of my message. And that is for some of us to step into that fullness of what God wants to do. There's some things that we need to cancel in our own lives. There's some choices that we have to make. And what I'm particularly talking about is what Jesus said when he taught us in the Lord's Prayer how to pray. And he said that we're to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. One version says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, cancel our debt as we cancel the debt that we believe that others owe us. One of the things that holds us back is bitterness and unforgiveness. When we allow that in our lives, when we allow that to stay in our heart, sometimes we use words like unforgivable. But Pastor Tommy, if you just knew what they did to me, it's unforgivable. You say things like, after what they did, how could I ever forgive them? God wants to cancel some stuff out of your life that's holding you back and keeping you from experiencing the fullness of His love and everything that He has planned for you. Sometimes it's what Satan's doing that's trying to cancel us and keep us from that, but sometimes it's in our control. It's what are you doing to say, I forgive. I forgive. I cancel that debt. Jesus said, if you don't forgive those who have sinned against you, how can I forgive you when you sin against me? It's just that simple. It's just that simple. So yeah, Satan wants to cancel some stuff in your life. He wants to cancel your dreams. He wants to cancel your purpose. God wants to cancel some stuff in your life. He wants to cancel the sin and the guilt. All the stuff out of your past that's been holding you back. But maybe there's something you need to cancel out of your life. And that's some unforgiveness that you've been holding toward others. Lord, if we must live in a day of cancel culture, then let this be our cancel culture. That we're going to cancel what others have done against us, and we're going to forgive them. Lord, that we're going to allow you to cancel the sin and the pain and the past and the guilt out of our lives, so that we can walk in the freedom that is found in Christ Jesus. Speak to us, Lord, today, each of us individually in this moment, where we lay our soul bare before you. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, turn your spotlight on our heart. Look inside of us today, Lord. What is it that you want to say? Is there stuff inside of us that needs to go? It needs to be canceled. Old sins, guilt, unforgiveness. Lord, if so, we come to you and we repent. We say, God, forgive us. And give us the grace and the strength that we need to forgive those who've wronged us. Lord, let us walk in your cancel culture today. Lord, if there are those today who feel like their life has been sidelined because Satan has tried to cancel our dreams, he's tried to cancel our purpose. Lord, let something rise inside of us today, a fresh spark, Lord. Let us remember the dream that you put inside of us. Wake it up, Lord. Bring it alive. Let us remind ourselves of the purpose and the calling of God on our life. Lord, maybe something that we had abandoned some time ago and thought it'll never happen. But Lord, today you're saying to us, don't forget, I put that dream inside of you. Stir it up. Let it become a reality in your life. Meet us, Lord, in our place of need today, I pray. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and the body of Christ just continues to talk to the Lord about what you need to talk to the Lord about. Maybe there are those that are here today that it's time for you to come home to Jesus and let him cancel your sin debt and cancel your past and cancel your guilt. Maybe you're here today and you've bought into the lie of the devil and you've been chasing the things that he said were going to bring fulfillment and pleasure and a happy life, and you realize he was just lying and deceiving you. It was nothing but a lie. He's this thief, and he just was trying to steal and kill and destroy. But you're ready to receive the life, the abundant life that Jesus Christ offers you. If you were ready to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior today, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Anyone in this place? Yes, I see your hand. Thank you for being honest today. Is there another? Yeah, I see another hand. Anyone else this morning? It's like this is time for me to quit running and just come home to Jesus. Quit believing the lies that the enemy's spoken and believe the truth that Jesus wants to change my life. Anybody else? I want to ask you to, all across this room, would you just stand with me, everyone? Just stand with me, and I want us to pray a prayer together. If you're watching us online this morning, maybe that's where you are, like several in this room, raising their hands saying, it's time for me to come home to Jesus. Time to let him cancel the sin debt in my life, cancel the lies that Satan has spoken over me, and to find the truth, the abundant life that Jesus Christ offers. And so I'm ready to pray this prayer right now. If that's where you are, pray that prayer right along with all of us here in this room. Can we all pray this prayer together? Lord Jesus, we come to you now and we confess that we're sinners. And apart from you, we have no hope. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came into this world and died on a cross in order to cancel my sin debt so that I could have the gift of eternal life. I believe you died on the cross and you rose again to give me eternal life. And I accept this gift of eternal life. Forgive me of all my sin. Come into my life and help me to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, celebrate today. I believe there's some folks who prayed that prayer this morning. and have invited Jesus Christ in your heart. And if so, I just want to be the very first to welcome you into the family of God, where your sin debt has been canceled, your past has been canceled, your guilt has been canceled, and you're free to serve the Lord with the dreams and the purpose that He's put inside of you. Hallelujah. I want to ask our prayer team if you'll come and join me here at the front. We're going to dismiss the service with a closing prayer. If you prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to come into your heart, we want to put some information in your hands. So would you be willing to come up to the front and just let our prayer team talk with you a little bit, encourage you? If you're a first-time guest, and I know that there were a lot of first-time guests. I met several coming into the service this morning. And so if you're here as a first-time guest, don't forget, we would love to meet you back at our guest central table, the blue table in the back of the room. We've got a gift that we want to give you. Just want to bless you and say thank you for coming and being a part of Spirit Life Church. Would you join with me in this closing word of prayer? And if you've got a need for anything in your life, anything, you're going through a trial, you're going through a hard spot, maybe you need, you know, some prayer for physical healing, whatever it is, we're here to pray with you. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your presence in this place today and all that you're doing in our lives. I ask, God, that you'd minister to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord, you're the ruler, you're supreme, you're Lord. Father, you're the one who really is able to cancel all the bad stuff out of our life and set us free to walk in your promises. And I thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week here at Spirit Life Church.